Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Let us then continue this morning worship service with the singing out of Psalter 10, there of the first and third stanza. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place. In thy fear will worship there. Lead me in thy righteousness, let my foes assail in vain, lest my feet be turned aside. Make thy way before me plain. We mention Psalter 10, the first and the third stanza. Thank you. scripture reading for this morning can be found out of God's holy word, out of the gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 20. We mention Luke 22, starting at verse 1 through 20, but first let us hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Luke 22, beginning at verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way, and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you thus far.
Congregation, as consistory, we announce the second announcement, the Lord willing, of the marriages of Eric Joshua Corvar and Rebecca Lynn Maljars on Thursday, June 25th at 10:30, and also the marriage of Johannes Willem Scholten and Carrie Jean Stubby on Friday, June 26th at 1 p.m. The Lord willing, also I will be officiating. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing on word and sacrament. Almighty, eternal, faithful, long-suffering Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, may we all say and truly feel, great is thy faithfulness, for thy mercies are new every morning, also this morning. Thou hast not dealt with us according to all our sins and iniquities, according to what each one of us deserves because of who we are, of who we have been born and conceived in sin, but also of all our own actual sins. Thou art yet willing to speak unto us through thy precious word, and we heard law and gospel. And thou knowest those poor sinners among us who, when they hear thy law, they must say guilty. They do not only confess it because they know historically the truth, but they have experienced something of their sinfulness, of their wretchedness, and how they have that desire by thy grace to follow thee and to obey thee. But oh, how that flesh clings to them. They have that delight in the inward man, and yet all that sin and iniquity that clings to them, and that they sin continually against thee, an almighty, good-doing, holy, and just God. But we have also heard thy precious word of him who came to be the Lamb of God, and who instituted the Lord's Supper, and who said unto his disciples, and through them also today, unto all his beloved people, unto the end of the world, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with thee. Oh, what a wonder that thou art willing, longing to commune with sinners, unworthy sinners, but also to feed them by thy word, and also in the sacrament with thyself, with thy broken body and shed blood. Lord, we beg thee then in this morning, as we have gathered together in thy house, that thou would gather with us, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, upon the word that will be preached, thy word that will be proclaimed, and also in the sacrament. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, pass us not by. Thou could justly do so because of all our sins, all our iniquities. We sin against all thy commandments. Thoughts, words, and deeds, we're polluted. We're wretched sinners, unworthy of any of thy blessings. And so, Lord, wilt thou give us to see that it all flows from thee, that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, upon the merits of the Lamb of God, upon his broken body, upon his perfect life, and upon his blood. Oh, wilt thou then give that there may not only be a sight of those signs that thou hast given, but may there be the sealing, the application of the Holy Spirit, and that thy poor, needy, tried, afflicted, weary people may taste a little something of the wonders of thy grace, that they may sink away brokenhearted. O Lord, we beg thee, do it for thy great name's sake and for the comfort of thy dear people. Lord, wilt thou draw them to the table with those cords of love, all thy true, tried, and afflicted people, to comfort them, to strengthen that faith that thou hast given to them and planted in their hearts, that that faith may be strengthened in thyself, in who thou art, in thy riches, in thy beauties, as that precious Redeemer, that only Mediator, and what thou hast given in thy broken body and shed blood, that thou hast satisfied, eternally satisfied, the just wrath of an almighty, holy, just God. And through that way, he can commune with sinners. He can receive wretched rebels, rebels of the dust, as sons and daughters. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would give, that thou would take away all the obstacles and the hindrances for thy dear, true, and tried people. But remember also all those at the end of this week of self-examination. Oh, may each one be honest, and those who must say, I do not have the grace, that they may refrain, but that they may also hear of the wonders of what there is in thee. Oh, wilt thou give then a holy jealousy in their soul by the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, may they be given to see not only what they miss, but also what there is available in thee. Lord, bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that through the means of thy grace, that sinners, dead sinners, may be brought to life, and thy dear people comforted. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. It's thy work. There's nothing in man, but may we look up unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, for our bodies, but also for our never-dying souls. Oh, we heard it last Sunday. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, may that have been true in this past week and in this morning, that there was beggars on their knees before thee, bowing in the dust, in humiliation, no rights in self, absolutely unworthy, and yet looking, longing, begging, crying, sighing unto thee. And may it have been in faith, with expectation, that thou art that almighty, faithful Lord God of heaven and earth. Thou wilt fulfill thy promises because of what thou hast given through thy dear Son. Lord, bless then thy word today here in thy house. May there be many who are born again. May there be many who have their hearts explained, riddles solved. May there be many who may taste a little something of the mercy, of the grace, and of the love of God the Father, God the Son, by the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, remember then in thy mercy, remember all those who are sick, care for them. We think of those who are receiving treatments. Remember Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, Mr. Carl Van Brugge, Lucianne, and others. Oh, wilt thou bless the means for their body, but remember also them for their soul. Remember all those with cares and needs for their body and for their mind. May we lay before thee also, thou who art the God of all comfort, all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, those who have lost a sibling, a father, a mother, other relatives, a friend, a classmate. Oh, wilt thou sanctify all the callings thou art speaking through all the afflictions, through all the sickness, and through all death, that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, we beg thee, prepare us. That grace thou showest unto the saints, reveal it unto us and to our children. Oh, prepare us for that day when we must leave this life and stand before Thee, our Creator, against whom we have sinned. Oh, teach of that only way. Draw to Thyself. Draw unto that only rock, and that there may be no rest until they may know, and that we may feel that resting upon Him, that precious foundation that Thou hast given, that Thou hast laid for unworthy sinners. Lord, we beg and pray Thee, bless Thy word throughout the world today. It's Thy day, and Thou hast said through the foolishness of preaching that Thou wilt gather Thy sheep whom Thou hast chosen from eternity, Thy sheep whom Thou hast given unto Thy Son, and He who came for them to fulfill the law for them, for those transgressors to suffer, to die, as He said, I give my life for the sheep. And Lord, we beg Thee then that Thou would apply it, that many may be born again among Jew and Gentile, and that Thou would bless it. Remember all mission work locally in prisons throughout this nation and throughout the whole world. Bless it, Lord. Thou hast said that Thy word will never return unto Thee void. Oh, may it be then to the breaking of hearts, to the renewing of hearts, to the salvation of sinners throughout the world, but also here in this congregation and in our families and in the hearts of our dear children. Lord, help the children to listen. Help them to hear and give them a blessing. Remember them, teenagers also, adults, those so busy with life. Help them, Lord, to take away all other distractions and cares and to listen to Thy word. Remember those who are getting older. Each day we are all one day closer to eternity, one day closer that we need to stand before Thee. O Lord, look upon us in mercy. Remember then also Thy work in Bolivia. Help Thy servants there, the office bearers, elders, deacons, Thy servants. Remember especially Pastor Marco. Care for him, Lord. Help him day by day, and that he may be used in Thy hands. Remember the church workers in their families. Lord, teach them, lead them, and guide them, and may they be also used in Thy hands, that it may be through the proclamation of Thy word that many Bolivians would become lost sinners, guilty sinners, unworthy sinners, and that they may hear of that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He may truly become so necessary, suitable, and precious. Lord, do it for Thy name's sake. Wilt Thou also provide a church worker? Thou knowest the call that has gone out for the need in Peru. Lord, wilt Thou provide? It's Thy kingdom. It's Thy work. Wilt Thou work in the heart then of a man, and that he must come forward? Lord, we beg Thee then, have mercy. Help all Thy servants to proclaim Thy word today, and that Thy kingdom may come, that Thy name may be glorified. May there be much prayer also here. Remember the couples also who hope to be united in holy matrimony when they may give that oath before Thee. Lord, give a word to speak unto them and give grace also to answer that question. And remember us all in our marriages. Oh, wilt Thou give love and faithfulness, and that we may be helpmeets for one another, not only for this life, but for the life to come. Lord, we lay all these needs before Thee. We're unworthy. We cannot present anything to Thee. It's only sin. But look upon us through Thy dear Son. Give Aaron's and Ur's. Give much prayer. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach and to administer the Lord's Supper. May it all be in Thy favor, and that Thy blessing may rest upon it. Oh, that we may be able to go home today and say, it was good to be here. because the Lord was among us. Come, Lord, visit, comfort with thyself, feed the hungry with thyself, thou who art the bread of life, and give water to the thirsty through those fountains of thy grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wash us, cleanse us of all our many sins, and look upon us, hear us, visit us, because of him, because of thy dear Son, who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 446, the first three stanzas. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now thine ear to me. O fount of consolation, attend unto my cry. Hear thou my supplication, and to my help draw nigh. 446, the first three stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, at the end of the Passover meal, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for his beloved flock on this earth. And they must keep this and do it in remembrance of him until he returns. We read this in Luke 22, verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper for his dear sheep. Sacraments. Remember what we read in and considered in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's 25? The sacraments are holy signs and seals to direct the faith of his sheep to the sacrifice on the cross as the only ground of salvation. And then we read in that same Lord's Day, or a little further in Lord's Day 28, the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he had offered on the cross. And then we read the question, where has Christ promised that he will certainly feed and nourish believers, which are his sheep, with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the Lord's Supper is the answer. So the precious Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd of his sheep, has instituted the sweetest of ordinances for his dear people. He desires to have communion with them and to feed and nourish their souls with himself. And now we had a week of self-examination. And then this morning especially, all his dear people, all his sheep are called to do it in remembrance of him. If you're a goat, you are not called to come to this table. You're called to repent and to flee to him, but not to come to this table. But what would move their hearts of those dear sheep who are so afflicted, so weary, and when they look inself, they just see all a fountain of sin? What would move their hearts? What would draw them to this table? Especially the words and the desire of the good shepherd. And therefore, this morning, before the administration of the Lord's Supper, we will briefly meditate upon what we can hear from the Word of God, especially the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, from Luke 22, verses 15 through 20. So Luke 22, verse 15 through 20. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So far, God's precious word. So the theme is the good shepherd's earnest desire for his sheep. The good shepherd's earnest desire for his sheep. Two thoughts. His earnest desire to commune with them. We hear this especially in verse 15. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then the second thought, his earnest desire to nourish his sheep. We read this in verse 19 and verse 20. So the good shepherd's earnest desire for his sheep. His earnest desire to commune with his sheep, for communion with his sheep, and his earnest desire to nourish his sheep. And may the sheep, the true sheep, God's children, those who are born again and who have true saving faith in that only precious, hear his words, and may they be drawn and do it in obedience unto him. And you may all listen, congregation. No, it's not. This service isn't only for God's people. It's for everyone. Listen to what you miss and what you need and what is yet available in that free and sovereign grace. May the Lord bless word and sacrament. And so our first thought, his earnest desire to commune with his sheep. We read in verse 7 in Luke 22, verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread, which when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say that you may eat. He didn't say that I may eat. He said that we may eat, that we may eat together. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of his sheep, he's sitting at that table, or maybe reclining around that table of the Passover meal with his disciples. And then his heart is stirred with deep emotion. He gives utterance to what he feels in the depth of his heart and of his soul. Listen to what he says. Luke 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So we hear, with desire have I desired. What is he saying? What does that mean? Well, we hear of a noun, desire, and we hear of related verb, desired. They're together in the same phrase. What does this tell us? Well, we need to understand what it says in Greek grammar. To make a statement, and to make a profound statement, to intensify what you're saying, then they would put a noun and a related verb to that noun. So the Lord Jesus Christ, from the depth of his heart, that good shepherd for his sheep, says, with desire, I have desired. He is saying, I earnestly desire, I wholeheartedly desire to be able to eat this Passover. He has an intense desire to eat with his disciples. We could say, with longing, I have longed to eat. The Lord Jesus Christ, he expresses this in the most deep, profound way in the language at his time. It is probably one of the most strongest expressions of the Lord Jesus' desire in the Bible. He said, I have desired to do the Father's will. Yes, and that desire was absolutely perfect, but he didn't express it to such a depth as he expresses to be able to sit to eat with wretched sinners, his sheep. What a wonder. What an absolute wonder. Oh, may that stir up the hearts of his dear sheep, that he has a longing. We have a little glimpse by his words into the heart of that precious redeemer, of his deep affection and love. He is expressing, remember, he came to do the Father's will. So he's even speaking of the desire of his Father. This Father has desire to have communion through his Son with wretched sinners. What a love. What mercy. What grace. We could understand if he would say, I have no desire to ever be with you again, sinful people. But his love, he loves them from eternity, and he will love them unto the end. It's all out of his love, of that overflowing fountain of his love. I think of John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. What does that mean? That means he loves them without ceasing. He loved them from eternity, and he will love them to eternity in spite of all their sin and iniquities. He loves them. He loves them with an eternal love. Sheep, he found you. He renewed you. He made you alive. He poured grace that you would repent, that you came alive, that you would believe. Why? It's because of his love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Oh, what love for sinful rebels, for creatures of the dust, for absolutely unworthy to ever have any communion with him, to ever taste of any favor, love, mercy, of grace. All that love had no beginning. It's an eternal love. And that love will never have any end. For him to break his love, he has to cease to be God. It's impossible. Because God is love. He can never break his love. He can never break his covenant. Because it's sealed in the blood of the precious Savior that says, I have desired with desire to eat this Passover with you. What a love. He will never ever stop loving them. And that becomes such a wonder. Could he love such a sinner as me? What a love. Let's take a moment to consider of his earnest desire that began in eternity. Open your Bible, please, to Proverbs chapter 8. And there we will hear of an eternal love and of his eternal delight. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. That speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read in verse 30. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And now verse 31, listen. Rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. In eternity, his delight was with the sons of men. What is he saying? He is saying, because that word delight means it's a feeling of extreme pleasure or satisfaction. What a wonder. From eternity already, he had a delight in the sons of men, wretched sinners. It's amazing grace for wretches. Has it become amazing grace for you as a wretch? Oh, what delight, what desire comes out of the heart of God the Father, displayed through heart of God the Son. Did he not come with delight? Did he not express that? As we read in Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is in within my heart. God the Father delighted to send his Son. To send his Son to be a substitute for a people that lay lost, dead, unholy, polluted, unable to ever put them among his people and to commune with them. How will I ever put them among my people? And then with reverence we can think of what is expressed in the Bible. That mediator, that precious Son, he says, send me. And that was the Father's desire and will, to send him to seek and save lost sinners, to redeem them, to be that ransom price, because they must pay and they have absolutely nothing to pay. Is that you at the end of this week? I must pay and I have nothing. But oh, to hear of one who has everything, that has paid everything, who's kept the law and is satisfied the justice of God. There's a ransom price, and it's him who has that desire with desire to eat with his sheep. And because of him, because of his grace, by the application of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of sinners, they are made alive. They do repent. They do believe. They come to need him. And he becomes suitable, and he becomes precious. And because of faith in him that he plants it, and it's active by the blowing upon the wind of the Holy Spirit, looking unto that only Savior, that rock, justified by faith, and that it could be said, deliver him. Deliver her from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. There's a ransom, congregation. Have you found that ransom? Has that ransom become precious? Do you need the ransom? Because without it, God the Father cannot commune. Cannot commune. He came to suffer, to die. So immensely that it's expressed in those articles of her Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, descended into hell. Why? Because his people that he has chosen, those wretched sinners, deserve to descend into hell eternally. But he came. He suffered. He died. That they may be forever delivered by his ransom price. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what grace. What amazing grace. What a desire of the Father. What a desire of the Son. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No, not his own people's sin. Not their unbelief. Not their still wretchedness that clings to them and that they will die with will ever separate his eternal love, because it's sealed in the blood of the precious Savior. And he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. In our culture, we have meals together. And I don't think we understand other cultures. It's not just to eat food. It's to have a time of fellowship. It's a time to have communion. I think especially in Bolivia, meals time take a long time, because it's not just to eat food. It's to have fellowship. Well, this was also true in the culture where the Lord Jesus lived. And now think of the Pharisees. What did they say in Luke 15, verse 2? And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. No, they were not complaining that he was just having food for their bodies. They were complaining because they understood that he wasn't only eating with them, he was having fellowship with them. He was having communion with them. And should not these Pharisees have been rejoicing? He receives sinners. Has that ever, that precious, sweet gospel that he receives sinners, has that filled your heart with joy and hope in him, that you as an absolute lost sinner may hear it, and by the application in your soul, it becomes such a wonder? It becomes an exceeding wonder. Amazing. And it's greater and greater and graver that the Lord would ever desire to have communion with such a sinful woman, with such a sinful man, with such a sinner as I am? Did I hear it correctly? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you disciples, who when I'm as a worm in the garden, who fell asleep when I needed your prayers, were just sleeping? With you disciples, who will scatter and forsake me when I needed you gone? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you, Peter. Peter, who will deny me. With you, Thomas, who will become so unbelieving. With you, disciples, who will in a few moments just begin to argue who will be the greatest. Oh, what pride. With you. He's saying to his disciples, who are still so polluted, so sinful, so much sin still clinging to them. And it's the same today. His people, they're not holy in self. They're holy in him. But unholy in self and feel so wretched, so unclean. With me, with such an unclean one? No, it's not just from their lips. It comes out of their heart. They feel it. It's the experience. And the Lord Jesus Christ is expressing his deep, earnest desire to have fellowship and to commune with them, with his sinful, polluted sheep, with desire. I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And this is also true today. Because what he said to his disciples, he says to all his sheep unto the end of the world. He's the same. yesterday, today, and forever. And he desires, with an earnest desire, to have communion with his dear people, to have fellowship. Oh, dear sheep of the Good Shepherd, hear these words, and may they stir up your heart, that you may, in obedience unto him, partake of the Lord's Supper with desire. I have desired to eat this Passover with you. When did he express this, children? At the Passover. What's going to happen in a few hours? He's going to suffer. He says this, before I supper. This was the last meal, the last time he can have communion with his disciples physically upon this earth. In a moment, he's going to experience intense suffering and pain in body and soul that no human lips can ever explain. But before he expresses an intense desire out of his soul to have communion, and he will not have that communion in this way, as we see at the Passover, the Lord's Supper, until his kingdom comes, as we read in heaven in verse 16 and 18. But before I suffer, he knew what was coming. He knew. He knew that he who knew no sin would be made sin. He knew it. From eating the Passover lamb, he knew in a few moments he would suffer and die. He would be beaten and afflicted, and he would die as the Lamb of God. And that he would miss in that way the favor of God. But he says before that, I want to show you my favor. I want to have communion with you. Reverently speaking, we could understand as human beings that he would have said, my heart is so full. I have so much on my mind. I have such a great work to do. I just want to be alone for a little while. I just want to be alone. But he didn't. He said with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover, you, to have communion, to have fellowship. Do you understand it? What a wonder. Oh, may that break hearts this morning. What a precious Savior. Oh, may these words come into the hearts and the souls of his dear people, and that they may be drawn with those cords of love to his table, and that their affections may go out unto him and unto him only, because he is worthy of all honor, all glory. Oh, may we be like that psalmist. Psalm 43, verse 3 and 4. Oh, send out thy light and truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And so, the good shepherd's earnest desire for his sheep, a little something of his earnest desire for communion with them. But there's more. He also had an earnest desire to nourish, to feed their souls. And so we read in verse 19, and he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then we read in verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. His earnest desire to feed his sheep. We hear of food. We hear of a cup. We hear there's food to feed hungry, needy sinners. Congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples have finished the Passover. There was food. There was bitter herbs. There was unleavened bread. But what was the main content of the Passover? The lamb. There was a lamb that was roasted, and they had to eat it. And they had to, before they roasted it, when they killed it, they had to do something with the blood. Children, remember the Passover in Exodus? What did they have to do with that blood? They had to put that blood on the doorposts. Why, remember? Because the Lord is going to pass through. The almighty, holy, infinite God of heaven and earth, who's too pure to look upon sin. And he's looking for blood, because if he doesn't see that blood, the firstborn will die. The blood will cause his wrath to pass over that house. Sinners would be saved because of that blood. And every year the Israelites had to keep the Passover. Every year more lambs. Every year more blood. It was all symbolic, pointing to the Lamb of God, that he would give himself, that he would give his body, that he would give his blood. What a lesson for those Israelites, for the covenant people. But what a lesson for us today, but also lessons for God's people. They need a lamb. It's only through a lamb, but not only a born lamb, not only a perfect lamb, not only a precious lamb, but a lamb that was slain. Why? Because it's only through his blood. That's the only place where God the Father was satisfied. That's the only place where he could pass over any sinner with his infinite justice and wrath. Oh, what lessons to learn. They need to press on, as we read in that meditation in from Philpott in the bulletin. They need to press on. There's more of him, to know more of him. But to come to that place, to rest upon that slain lamb, sinners are born again. Recipients of grace, they become willing, but they fall into sin so many times, fighting and falling, mourning and trembling, hoping and doubting, weary and fainting, repenting and believing, sighing and crying. It's all those exercises of faith and much more. It all comes to one essential need. The Holy Spirit teaches them through all these lessons in the school of grace to bring them to one place. What place? To one essential hunger, to one essential food that can feed their souls. Where does the Holy Spirit bring them? To that one place that they begin to hunger. No more food in self. Nothing. It all becomes death in the pot. Only food outside of themselves. They need a salvation outside of themselves, entirely in another, in a mediator. And a mediator that can reconcile them with a holy, righteous, and just God. They need a surety. They need a substitute. They need a lamb. They come to need a lamb of God. They need one to stand in their place, or they're lost. They come to need a righteousness of another. They come to need a payment, and they need a payment of another. What lessons? Because without that blood, he cannot pass over. Have you learned something of that in the school of grace as a lost sinner? And that it's become precious that there is a lamb, a perfect lamb. But have you come to need for reconciliation, that he can have favor, communion with you, and that he could accept you, that you could forever be in his presence? That is only through another, through him, that Redeemer, the Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. They come to need him. They come to need him as that wide builder, to be only on the rock, to rest only upon him, upon his righteousness and upon his blood. Because outside of him, they know. They don't just say it from their head, but they feel it in their soul. I'm lost. His wrath will be poured upon me, and it will be just. I need to be in that shelter, in that only shelter. That becomes the food for their souls. That becomes what feeds them. That precious Savior, him, who now says, and listen, who says now in verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So he took bread. Can you picture that? At the end of the Passover meal, now he takes bread. What does this mean? God the Father gave his Son as the bread. John 6, verse 32, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he took upon himself flesh. He took upon himself to be the bread. He came to stand in that place. He came to give everything. He came to give his body. He came to be the bread. Remember what he said in John 6, verse 35? I am the bread of life. Sheep, there's only one place you may rest. In him, there's only one place that you may find true food to the nourishment of your souls. It's through the gospel, through that precious Savior, but also at the table. And he gave thanks and he broke it. He broke it. What a picture. The Lamb of God, who is the bread of life, he broke it before their eyes. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, it speaks also in that word, bruised, broken. God the Father gave him to be broken. He came to be broken. And all then we think of how he was beaten. He was torn apart. How he was crucified. How those nails went through his hands and his feet and that spear through his side. And how that crown of thorns was pressed on his head. He was so marred that you wouldn't even have recognized him. He was completely broken under the wrath of God. The bread was broken. And he gave himself. He gave himself so that God the Father could have communion with sinners through his broken body. And he gave it unto them. Simple words. But they become so precious. He gave unto them. You can see him as the host. Going to the disciples, breaking that bread, and giving each and every one of them a piece. He gave it unto them. What a beautiful picture. No, he didn't just put it on the table and say to the disciples, now you may take, now you may help himself. All those poor trembling sinners, they don't dare just reach out and take that bread because they feel so unholy. But what a beautiful picture. And he gave it unto them. He gave it unto them. He's the bread. He broke it. And he gave it unto them. He gives. He gives freely. Freely in the gospel. No money, no price. He gives it unto them. And then what do you see? Watch in this morning. Then you see those little beggar hands coming up. And they receive it. It's given unto them. It's all of grace. And they become as little dogs, as beggars. And they may come when they hear, take and eat. And that their hands may go out, and they may take and they may eat. It speaks of believing. He speaks of belief. Believe in my sacrifice. I have given my body to be broken. I'm the true bread. I want to feed your soul with my love. I want you to be assured of my hearty love. Take and eat. What a blessing. Simple words. But so precious. He's the bread. He broke it. And he gives. And he says, take and eat. But he also, there was a cup. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Many times in the Bible, we read of a cup. And numerous texts speak of a cup of fury. Remember children, teenagers, congregation, in Gethsemane, then he took that cup. The cup of what? Did he drink a cup of mercy and love? He took a cup that was given to him. The cup of the wrath of God, filled with wrath. And he took it. And what did he do with it? He drank it. He drank it all. He drank it empty of all the wrath. He took it all upon himself. Oh, when those nails went through his hands and through his feet and that spear through his side, that was the wrath of his Father poured out upon him, the sword of the justice of God. His wrath was poured out upon him, and he was pierced, and that blood flowed, broken. And he gave his life, he gave his blood, he gave everything. So that an almighty God can have communion and can feed sinners with the true bread of life. We read in Matthew 26, verse 27 and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He's saying, look, don't just take that cup, dear sheep. Think, lift up your hearts unto me on high. I have given my blood. Drink and believe that my blood was shed for you, and that my blood satisfied the wrath that you deserve and you can never satisfy. But I have given my blood. Lift up your heart to me. There is the forgiveness of all sins, original sin, for his beloved people through that blood. And he says, drink ye all of it in Matthew. What does that mean? Just to empty the cup? No. All his dear people, every one of them, me also, yes, all, they're all included. Oh, also Peter, Thomas, they were all included, drinking all of it. Oh, that precious Savior, he had such an earnest desire from the depth of his heart and of his soul to have communion with them. Oh, may that stir up the hearts of his dear people. And he is the good shepherd. He feeds his dear people. Oh, sheep can become so weary. They can become so tired. And the good shepherd leads them to green pastures to feed them. And he brings them to refreshing water to refresh their souls. And the good shepherd, we read in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he shall feed his people like a flock. He feeds them by his word, by the gospel. He feeds them in the Holy Supper. But the content of the food is himself. His broken body and shed blood. And he commands them, do this in remembrance of me. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He gave everything. He didn't hold anything back. So that through his sacrifice, God the Father and sinners can be reconciled. And that they can experience today already comfort. Comfortless sinners can be comforted in him. And that's his longing to comfort his weary people and to feed them with himself. Oh, to be one of the sheep. That's the only comfort in life and death. What food that he has given his body and his blood. What nourishment. What soul nourishment when you by faith can hear or read and believe in him and his sacrifice. What joy fills your heart and your soul. There's nothing else on this earth. No other food compared to that precious gospel food of the precious Savior. And he says, oh friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly. Oh beloved. He calls his sheep to eat and to drink abundantly because he has an abundance for the most vile of sinners. And he says, eat ye that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And he promises in Isaiah or Psalm 132 verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provision and I will satisfy her poor with bread. But the rich, he will send away empty. Blessed Savior, blessed sheep. It's all our fountains are in thee. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 368, standing stanzas 3 and 4. 368, 3 and 4. Thy Zion thou hast chosen, Lord, and thou hast said, I love her well. This is my constant resting place, and here will I delight to dwell. 368, stanzas 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Let us now together read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. And I believe you can find the back of your Psalter on page 136. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake and of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those who then are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship imagers, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh, yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and have certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood, to everlasting life as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bed break, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God with true faith, implore his grace. Let us pray together. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted head, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us now sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, and tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, 1 and 2. Dear congregation, again, there is the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We've had a week of self-examination. And who may attend? Those who have an ecclesiastical right and a divine right. So ecclesiastical right is those who are a member, who've made public confession of faith, and who are not under church discipline, but also a divine right. Because just an outward confession is not sufficient. So what is a divine right? Those three clear, distinct marks, those experiential marks of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, of how great my sins are. No, not just saying it with your mouth, but feeling in your heart. Blessed are they that mourn, that godly sorrow, that you sinned against a good doing God, and that you remain sin. At the same time, there's a desire in your heart to serve him, to do his will, longing and falling so many times, but also deliverance. That you find no absolutely deliverance in anything of yourself in any other way, but only led and taught in the school of grace, not only of your misery, but also of deliverance in another. That he was revealed to you through the word or in the preaching, that precious Savior, that only rock, that only hope, and that your heart went out to him as a poor, needy, unworthy wretch, that you cannot live without him anymore. And that in tasting of the wonders of his grace for such a wretch, that there's a longing, gratitude to serve him and to serve him more. And you feel at the same time so sinful. And what did they learn? It's an ever deepening circle. Because the more you taste of your misery and experience, the more you need to deliver. And the more you find of the deliver, the more you want to serve him. And the more you long to serve him, the more sin you see. Is that your heart? Is that your life? That's the life of the sheep. The true sheep of the good shepherd, that he says with desire, I have desired to eat this, to commune with you, and to feed and to nourish your soul with myself. The table is open. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. What a wonder. He says, take and eat. And with those beggar hands, we may reach out and receive what he has given. His body was broken under the wrath of God. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Oh, it becomes of such a wonder. I should have been eternally broken. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. What love, what a good shepherd for his sheep. He was broken, he was beaten, afflicted, he died, so there's food for poor, hungry, wretched sinners. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, for me, for you, wretched sinner. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink all of it. Dear sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he said in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also." We've heard his precious words this morning, that with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, to commune with you, to feed you. And then he continues, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and to prepare a place for you." How can there ever be a place for such unworthy, wretched sinners that can only present to him sin and remain sin? It's because of him. It's because of him there's a place. Because of his broken body. Because of his sacrifice. Because of what he has given. His delights were with the sons of men, and he had no delight until he could say, "Finished." And he still has another delight. He longs to take his dear children home and to be in that place. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amazing. He went home. And he has no rest until he can bring wretched, guilty sinners home. Home. What is that? That's to be in that eternal dwelling with God the Father, God the Son, and to be ever delighting in him and he delighting in them, and to ever feed them, to ever have communion. No interruptions anymore. Never. No interruptions. No sin. No distance. Home. Prepare the place. It's all through him and his broken body. Let us sing now from Psalter 4:26. We'll sing Psalter 4:26, stanzas 3 and 4. 3 and 4, and on verse 5, then please return to seats. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 4:26. Dear congregation, are there others who must confess that they lie in the midst of death and that they only seek salvation in that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your heart been described in the past weeks in the sermon that in your heart it's not only confession with the mouth, but out of your heart, by God's grace, a desire to do His will because He's so good and worthy to be served. And yet you feel so wretched because you can't serve Him as He's worthy. But then you saw in another, the precious Savior, that He's that Lamb of God, that perfect Lamb of God, that in Him you need Him as your righteousness, that God the Father can look upon you only through Him, and that you need Him as that one to reconcile you with a holy and a good-doing God. If you feel this testimony in your heart, as we heard in the form of mystery, deliverance, and gratitude, then you must come in obedience to Him. And He invites, and He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover, to commune with my dear sheep. The table is open. Then we will also administer this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, for me, such a rebel, such an unworthy sinner, broken for you. Take and eat. He gives that you may receive. As an unworthy beggar, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For me, yes, He says, take and eat. To all His dear sheep, to take and to eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. He was broken, and we deserve to be broken, so that we would never be eternally broken. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. I've given my body to be broken for you. What love, what mercy, what grace to such unworthy sinners. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. For you, He said, to each and every one of His dear sheep. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take and drink ye all of it. And as we may drink, we are called to lift up our heads unto him and to think of him sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Isaiah wrote such a beautiful chapter of him that was beaten, afflicted. I'll read a few verses. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So it's all through him. We deserve to be stricken. We deserve to be eternally afflicted. We deserve to be eternally wounded. We deserve to be eternally chastised. But he took it all upon him. With his stripes we are healed. He calls, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He has given himself to be the bread to be broken. He says, take and eat. Think upon my broken body. Think upon my eternal love. He came with delight, and he had no rest until he made that sacrifice, because he knew that his beloved sheep will forever be under wrath, except he made that payment, that he made that precious sacrifice of himself. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. We left God in paradise, but he came to restore that way that they had no desire. And when they're born again, they have a desire for that way back. But they can find no way back to him. But in him, he came to be the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. And what was the result? Then we read in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It was the pleasure of the Son to come. And it was the pleasure of the Father to send him. But not only to send him, it was his pleasure to put him to death. Why? So those that are only worthy of eternal death could have life, eternal life, and to have their sins forgiven. And then we read, when he shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And loving kindness comes to wretched sinners through the blood of the precious Lamb of God, that he can commune, that he can feed, that he can nourish such unworthy sinners. It's all of him, and may this day be all to him, and it will be eternally to him. Let us sing from Psalter 426. We will sing 6 and 7, and verse 8, we will turn to our seats. Verse 6 and 7, and verse 8, and return, please.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with an attentive heart, and let us close in thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us, thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us close in singing now from Psalter 427, stanzas 1 and 8. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he, his mercy excellent in fullness. And what follows? 427, stanzas 1 and 8. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.